Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Daled, and we're right up to the very next part of our Mishnah, in which Rabbi Shimon gave a general din at the two dots, and Rabbi Shimon said what? That there is makshir totally behilach. Wow, okay. Holacha is not considered to be one of the Arba Makshirin. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Shimon is moda, however, that if you're talking about the holacha of chataot ha-primiyot, if you're talking about walking in, I mean, there's no way that you can do without the holacha of a chatas ha-primis. Since you cannot do the shechita inside the heichal, you can only do the shechita outside, and then you have to get the blood inside. So that would be a holacha that is unavoidable. V'hol avodah she'en yachol avatla. Therefore, there's no question that even Rabbi Shimon would agree. What are you talking about, Reish Lakish? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that there's a concept of pigul on the chatot ha-pnimiyot at all. This is a ridiculous statement. Amar Rabbi Shimon, kol she'ino al mizbeach hachitzon kishlomim in chayoven olav mishum pigol. So what are you talking about? It's not going to become possible. Well, there is no holacha that's going to possible because there's no pigol. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, but Rabbi Shimon is meida that even though it doesn't become pigol, it does become possible. So, yes, it's true. There's no concept of pigul with the chiyuv, of course, and the whole deal and so on. But what we're talking about over here is that it's a psul like any other psul makshava because it's a kal vachomer. If shelo lishmo, which is actually completely kosher in a shlomim, right? It's just lo ala labalim l'shem chova. It's still pasul zechatas, a chutz lizmano, which would pasul a shlomim, for sure should pasul a chatas. And we're not talking about pigul. Now, this is a very fascinating additional subtle distinction. There's two different elements in a pigul. There's the element of its shelo lishmo, because it's improperly brought. And then there's the element of its magical access to another dimension, where over there, it creates a chiyuv of karas and so on and so forth. You can have one aspect without the other. So even though Rabbi Shimon says there's no such thing as pigol in the chataot ha-pnimiyot, that's true. But it certainly is a violation of the l'shem, what are you doing this carbon for? I'm doing it for the wrong thing. And therefore, it's a kal vachomer on shelo lishmo. Okay, now that is clear in terms of chutz lizmano. How do we know that the same thing would be true about chutz limekomo? Because you said that across the board, Rabbi Shimon would agree that any type of pigul would pasul. Well, you can't derive chutz limekomo from chutz lizmano because, I mean, chutz lizmano is more chomor. It's kares. And if you want to learn it out from shelo lishmo, you cannot learn it from shelo lishmo. Why? Because shelo lishmo is applicable to a boma. Let's think about that for a moment, guys. Can you have a chutz limekomo before the Beis HaMikdash was built? Can you have a chutz limekomo if you're bringing a carbon on a boma? Nobody? Why not? Exactly. There is no mekomo. So how could you have a chutzla mekomo, right? That's the point. So since chutzla mekomo would not apply on a bama, but chutzla zmano would apply on a bama, you cannot learn out the din at all from the concept of shelo lishma, because can you have a shelo lishma on a bama? Absolutely. If shelo lishma is, I'm bringing this carbon as the wrong carbon. It is noig b'bama. Excuse me? You've got a problem. Your problem is the only carbon that is special shelo lishma is a chatas or a pesach. But you can't bring either of those on a bummer. So what are we talking about, right? You're saying, yeah, but that's different. There's no Shalom Lishma at all on the Bama because there's no Pesach V'Chatas B'Bama Lo Korvo. So what are we talking about? A theory that is an impossibility. Good point. Okay. So therefore, it does not actually apply to the Bama because you can only bring the things that are brought B'Neder or B'Nedavah. So therefore, the reality is that such a thing doesn't apply. And therefore, the chumrah of of Shalom Lishma could actually be the mocker of the idea of chutz lizmano, because you can't say that it's more chumrah because it applies to a chatas and a pesach. It doesn't. Or, you know what? You know what? The whole deal doesn't require a logic. Because the truth is that the dinim of chutz lizmano and chutz lemekoma are actually learned in the pasuk from each other through a hekesh, because it's actually learned from a hekesh. Ibait ema hekeshahu. It says in the pasuk, biyom ashelishli. Remember that very, very fateful pasuk. Ve'im he'achol ye'achel. Mibisar zevach shelamav bayom ha'shelishi lo yeratzeh, and so on. So what do we learn from that? The yom ha'shelishi is a reference to chutz lizmano. But then when it says pigul yiyeh lo yechashev lo pigul yiyeh, that is a reference to even chutz lemekomo. So obviously Yom HaShlishi is a reference to Zman. So it's a violation of one dimension. But when you add that it's not Yechashev because it should be a Pigo, it's adding a different type of dimensional violation, which was place. And that's a reference to Chutz LeMekomo. So therefore, once I know the din is true in the Chutz LeZmano, I know it's true of Chutz LeMekomo, even though I can't derive it directly from any type of Kal V'Chomer or Mamatzino, but I know it from the Hekesh to the din of Pigul Chutz LeZmano. Okay, so what we said before was that according to Rabbi Shimon, he is Meida that even in the case where you're talking about the Chata'ot Apnimiot, and there's no din of pigul in the Heichal. It has to be on Mizbeach Achitzain like a Shlomi because the Mokar is the Shlomim. It would still create a new psul, a psul of Machsheves Chutz Lizmano or Chutz LeMekomo, not the pigul of Chutz Lizmano, Chutz LeMekomo. Boy, these are subtle points and you got to keep them all in mind. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, with his own son. So if he would agree with Rabbi Shimon, with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and that is the question of where Tzofon is considered lahalacha to be Tzofon. Now, in order to understand this, we need to realize that the real makom of Tzofon is the northern part of the Azara, but according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, it's the northern part of the Azara from the wall of the Azara up till the Mizbeah. Since the place of Shechita is not usually Bein HaOlam V'la Mizbeah, which is closer to the Heichal, that area, even the northern part of that area, is not the Mokum of Shechita that is meant to be Tzofon. Okay? Is that clear right now? Keep in mind, can somebody send a picture, maybe, of the placement of the Mizbeach? Where's Alon? You got one of your fancy pictures there, Alon, or you're driving? Yeah, driving. Okay. If somebody has, like, a picture from that edition that Alon uses.
It is a great picture in the Koran. The Koran, the blue Koran, the very starts in the Chumash. It's a great picture of it. Very useful.
And in Vayikra, you mean? I don't have that handy. Oh, maybe I do.
Vayikra.
I have a Koran Vayikra. Let me see. Ah, okay. Yeah. But I don't know whether it's going to be visible. I can hold it up. And you could see the red area. So that's the placement there of the Mizbeach in the Azara. It's the red area. You see the Heichal is the shaded area. And the part that extends north and south of the Heichal is the Ulam. It's the porch of the Heichal. And then you have got a small space between that porch and the edge of the Mizbeach, right?
Two pictures.
Oh, okay. So that's easier. Assuming they're good pictures.
I'm gonna take I'm not 100% sure.
Right, so let me see.
Think so, but I have to...
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's a good picture, but it's not, it doesn't have the area of Tzafon. But okay, anyway, so if you take a look at this picture, which is not true according to all of the Shitas, because it's got the middle of the Mizbeach directly in the middle of the doorway to the Ulam, which is a machlokas that we're going to be talking about. But anyway, the area between the northern side, take a look at Mark's north, up, you see? So the area between the northern side of the Mizbeach and the wall that is going around the whole area, which is the area of the Azara, not the Azras Nashim, which is where you have the four chambers on the side, which is towards your right, but the actual wall around the Heichal and the Mizbeach. So definitely between the northern wall and the northern side of the Mizbeach is definitely called Tzafon. Now there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, who says that's the only Tzafon, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's son, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who holds no, the entire area that is north, it doesn't matter whether it's facing the Mizbeach or it goes all the way up to the Ulam. See? Maybe up to the Heichal. That we'll discuss. So now, if Rabbi Shimon himself holds like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and he says that the northern part that's even further to the, what we see over here is the Heichal to the west. It doesn't matter how far west it is. The northwest area past the Mizbeach is also called Tzafon. So then the Machshava that we were talking about, the Pasol Chataot HaPnimiot with the Machsheves Pigol, not as Pigol, according to Rabbi Shimon, but as a Psul Machshava, the only place that you've got would be from the entrance to the Ulam onward. So if from that point on you brought the Dam of Achatas HaPnimis, Beholocha, with the Machsheves Pigo, then that would be the only point that it would become Usur. But if you bend between, anywhere between the Mizbeach and the actual Ulam, you could have done away with that. Because if Tzafon is kosher even there, then that would mean you could have shechted the carbon there. And since Rabbi Shimon holds wherever you can get away without doing halacha, the halacha is not a problem, you could have gotten away without doing halacha on a chatos hapnimis by shechting it right up near the Heichal in the northern side of the door. You see? And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's a dispensable halacha, and Rabbi Shimon holds dispensable halachas don't matter. So therefore, the only place where you would be able to passel it was the part that you wouldn't have been able to do, which is from the entrance to the Ulam. Okay, there, if the Kohen says, I am bringing this in order to do the Zrika and the Mizbeach HaPnimis Shelo Bizmano, or Shalom b'mekomo, that would possible according to Rabbi Shimon. And let me tell you something else. That if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Shimon also agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the din is that the Toch Azara Mikadesh, this is another Gavi, basic Gavi idea, it's either Toch Azara Mikadesh or Ein Toch Azara Mikadesh, that's a machlokas. And we're going to see this later on, and much later on in the Masechet, that if something hits the actual floor of the Azorah between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, he holds that that floor was given the Kedusha of the Mizbeach. And therefore, if something lands on that floor, you could actually make it kosher. You don't have room on the Mizbeach. You can burn things on the floor between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. So that's called Toch Azara Mikadesh. So then think of the implications of that for Holocha. Because in the event that you carry out the Holocha of the Bezichim, now this requires also a little bit of an introduction. Remember that we just had a discussion of Menachas, and we said that the Holocha of the Kometz of a Mincha is going to be Keneged the Holocha of the Dam of a Zevach, right? Are we together here? I need to see some glints in eyes, intelligence. Otherwise, all I see are these monkeys, and we just had a Gemara that said that a monkey is not considered to be intelligent for doing this work. And therefore, since the learning of Zvachim is unishalma parim sifateinu, it wouldn't be good for monkeys. So let's see a little bit of humans here. Okay. So now, remember, we just had our Mishnah that was quoted from Masechet Menachot about the four avodot of a mincha. And that was the kmitza and the nesina bekli and the holocha and the haktorah. Those are the four avodot of a mincha. Now, there's a very strange mincha that I bet you didn't even realize was a mincha. It's maybe the strangest of all of the menachas. And you know what it's called? The Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim is a mincha? You don't do kmitza on the Lechem Aponim. Ah, but you do. How is that? Well, together with the Lechem Aponim, you might remember, is that there is the two Bezichei Levona that are put on the Shulchan together with the Lechem Aponim. Now, what you had to do was pick those up, which is the equivalent of the kmitza from the Shulchan. And the being on the Shulchan is the kli of the mincha. The taking the up those two kometz levonas, essentially, is kmitza. So those bezichin is the kmitza. Walking with those two containers of levona is holocha. And then when you burn them on the mizbeach, that's the haktorah of the kmitza for the lechem aponim. Aha! So that would mean that you could also have the Machsheves Chutz Lizmano of feeding the Mizbeach Levona on the strange mincha. You see how abstracted these concepts are. They don't have to look anything like a Korban Shlomim. Now they're looking like bread on a golden table with two containers. And that is the same thing that we've been learning about in the Shlomim, right? It's so wonderful how Zvachim is like totally abstracted. It just takes all of this for granted. Now, assuming that you would hold that the moment that you get to the floor between the Heichal and the Mizbeach, that floor is kosher as the Mizbeach. Aha! So then that would mean that the only time that the Holocha is essential, the Machshava would only be Mo'eled from the point that you went out of the Heichal and you got to the floor. That would be your Holocha. Because you could have had that. You could have had the Shulchan all the way up there. You could have taken it from the Shulchan. Now you have to go through the porch. So that's the area, that short area from the porch down the stairs to the floor. That's the only Holocha that you can't dispense with. Right? Because you got to get it to the Mizbeach. But the Mizbeach, if you hold like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Mizbeach starts at the floor, at the bottom of the stairs when you leave the Ulam. So you'd have a very short area of an indispensable Holocha. Furthermore, let me tell you something else. Suppose Rabbi Shimon would also hold the Halacha of those who say, and we're going to be discussing this later, Kedushat Heichal Ve'ulam Chodahi. This is another Gavi concept, which is not necessarily the case. So you could say Kedushas Heichal Ve'ulam Chodahi, or in brackets, Lav Chodahi. If Rabbi Shimon would also hold that it's the same Kedusha all the way to the floor, so then, Ein Machshava Mo'elet, you would not be able to have a indispensable halacha unless you're already at the entryway of the porch before the Heichal and down to the floor. Because if not that, that's all you've got. You've only got the stairs, which are five amos, that now is the entryway. That is the only area that you've got to do halacha. Once you're past there, you can burn it right there on the floor. And therefore, there's only this little area where you absolutely would have to do a halacha. Now, let me tell you something else. There's another possibility. Suppose Rabbi Shimon would hold, like the Shita that says, that the five amas of the door is the same as the inside of the ulam. And he also holds that the inside of the ulam is the same as the heichal. So now, if you're going to tell me, imtim tzoloma toch ha-petach kilifnim, you don't have any halacha at all. Because you could have actually just done it right up there. Because technically speaking, theoretically speaking, you could have had the shulchan right at the edge of the door. And then you would have needed only to put the bezichei levoina on the floor, which is only during the place where you move your hand from inside the doorway to outside. That's all. And after that, it would already be on the mizbeach, so to speak. So the only pigel that would passel, according to Rabbi Shimon, would be the unavoidable, that little bit. But that is not necessarily going to passel, because you don't have to move your feet. You only have to move your hand. And we're going to see that we have a fundamental question coming up big time. Another amazing Gavi potential here, which is holocha shelo beregel considered to be holocha at all? Is moving a hand holocha, or that's not even called holocha? Holocha means you have to actually be walking. Well, if Rabbi Shimon also holds that holocha shelo beregel is not holocha, so then there's no place at all that you can actually have a machshava to pasul v'levina, because you don't have to move your feet. And if your feet aren't moving, there is no halacha. And since Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai happens to be Rabbi Shimon, how do you like that? And Rabbi Shimon's shita is that any halacha that's dispensable is not called halacha. And he also holds like his son, and he also holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and he also holds that Toch HaPesach is Kilifnim, and he also holds Kedushas Ulam Vimiz, and Heichal is Achasi. Well, buddy, you got it made. There's no way to passel the Levona with Holacha. What do you say about that? So then, Ein Machshava Mo'elet Klal. Obviously a very theoretical exercise, but it brings us face to face with so many important issues that put it all together, and we end up with a fascinating application, Lemaisa, in terms of Machshaves Pigel, which is sort of a L'shalo L'shma kind of Machshava, which would passel, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who would hold that there's no din of real pigel bifnim, but there is a din of psul pigel bifnim. Whew, wow. Now, Abaye asked the Amora of Rav Chisda, as he couldn't get through directly to Rav Chisda, and the Amora was the one who would give over the Rebbe's pshatim and the details of the shir. So he went to the Amora of Rav Chisda and he said, please ask Rav Chisda, what would be the din if you did holacha with a zar? Someone who's not a kohen does the holacha. Omar Le, Rav Chisda said, it's kosher. And he has an amazing, what a diak and a pasuk. He has an amazing pasuk from Divrei Hayomim that make this very clear. Listen to this. Umikra misayeni. The pasuk shows that I am absolutely justified in telling you that it's kosher. It says in that pasuk, so strangely, vayishchatu ha-pasach, vayizriku ha-kohanim miyadam. This is they got the pasuk messed up here in the print. So what it says is, they shechted the Pesach. Now, obviously, they is referring to the non-Kohanim who brought the Korban Pesach, because afterwards it says, the Vayizriku HaKohanim, which means that we're not talking about the Kohanim in the Shechita, right? Now, ask yourself, who did the Kabbalah? Now, obviously, Kohanim had to do the Kabbalah. That we see later. Kabbalah done with a Zar is possible. It just doesn't bother talking about the Kabbalah, right? Okay. Then it says, and the Kohanim were Zorek the Dam from their hands, the people who had done the Shechita. So how did it get into their hands? Apparently, after the Kohanim did the Kabbalah, they did the Holacha, bring it up to the Kohanim who were standing by the Mizbeach, and then the Kohanim who were standing by the Mizbeach, they took it from their hands, and they did the Zrika. So you see that Holacha with a Zar is perfectly okay, because the same people who did the Shechita did the Holacha after the Kohanim did the Kabbalah, then the Kohanim take it back again in order to do the Zrika. So you see that in interests of efficiency over here, the Kohanim are busy doing their thing, and therefore the Zorim, they did the Shechita, which is kosher bizarre, and the Zorim did the Holacha, which is obviously kosher bizarre. Otherwise, this whole thing makes no sense. Raya, 100%. Abaye had asked Rav Chister through his Amora, what would be the din of Holacha that's done by a Zar? And Rav Chister brought him a raya from an actual posek in Divrei Hayomim, in which it says that the Kohanim took the dam from the hands of the Zarim, and they put it onto the Mizbeach. So it's pretty clear that the Zarim were the ones who had brought the dam up to the Kohanim. So that seemed pretty clear. So now we're on the last four words of Omid Aleph. Motziv Rav Sheshes. How can you say that a Zar who does Halacha is kosher? It says beferush, Zar, Ve'onein, Shikor, Balbum, are all possible in Kabbalah, in Halacha, okay, it's beferush, and in Zrika. They're possible across the board. Same thing were true about someone who was Yoshev. He does the Avoda. Since it says, La'amod l'sharet, Avoda has to be done, Sherus has to be done, Be'amida. And if you were sitting, that's not a kosher Sherut. V'chein smo, and yet we learn out, we'll see later on, we learn out from the Pasuk, Etzba is always a din in Yamin, and we learn out that the Avoda all has to be done by Yamin. But anyway, it says here clearly, that the holocha that's done ayidei zar is posel to yufta. But what do you mean to yufta? Rav Chista brought up a fairish of posek. I mean, what's going on over here? How could it be that the posek is wrong? Or Rav Chista krokoma? Yes, it doesn't say that the zarim brought the coin, the dam. It just says that the coin took it from the zar. Now, that may very well mean the coin was makabel the dam, and then handed it to the Tsar to hold. The Tsar didn't walk with it. And then the coin, after the Tsar was holding it, the other coin is coming to do now Zrika. Or the same coin takes it from the Tsar and does the Zrika. But that doesn't mean that there was any holocha whatsoever that was actually done by the Tsar. Moshe Binyamin, are you here? Moshe Binyamin. I don't think that he hears. You do hear? Oh, because I've been trying to contact you. Okay. You've been in a different world. Okay. Rabbi Verev Yosef, the Omer Tarvayu, Holacha Bizar, is actually dependent in the Machlokes of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbana. Instead of looking for an absolute over here, it actually depends on the Machlokes that we had in the Mishnah, and that would explain the two approaches here. Because, look, remember Rabbi Shimon's shita is that an avodah she'efshar levatla lav avodai. So he held, Rabbi Shimon, we saw before, that on all of the avodas, that's true that the shalodishma passes, but on an avoda that is not a necessity, because, I mean, you could, after all, shecht right up against the mizbeach, and then you don't need to do olacha at all. Now, that is not considered to be an avoda. So, okay, so according to that, if it's not considered to be an avoda, it would be kosher bizarre. But according to Rabbanan, who hold that all four avodas are the same, it would be called an avoda, and therefore we perhaps a bizarre. Amalu Abayin, that doesn't follow. I mean, look, we've got these four avodas. You're telling me we've got Shlita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, and you're telling me that if it was possible by, if it was considered to be an avoda, it would be possible bizarre. Well, what about Shlita? Shlita is considered to be one of the arba avodas, and it's done by a czar. And it's certainly, Rabbi Shimon wouldn't say that Shrita, since you can be mevatel it, there's no way to be mevatel Shrita. That's the basis of everything. And it's kosher bizarre. So why are you telling me that the din of Olocha would be dependent on whether you hold the tzev shel avatla? Omrulei, no. Shrita is not called an avoda at all. Because, I mean, the point is that you don't need a kohen. And it can't be called an avoda, even though it's needed. And the truth is that shechita, of course, is done for chulin. So the concept of the shechita that's done for a hekdesh doesn't change it in its essence. That's the same shechita that's done for chulin. However, over here, when it's done for the purpose of the korban, it has to be done with the proper machshava. That's all. But it's not, technically speaking, it's not an avoda to be puzzled with the czar. But we still maintain that when something is an avoda, then the question of whether it's absolutely essential or not essential, that question would still be fundamental, machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, and the kashrus of the czar would be dependent on what you hold about that machlokes. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Shechita is not an avoda. I mean, what if I find one place where you need a kohen to do shechita? So are you ready to agree that that's an indication that it is an avoda? Because otherwise it makes no sense to say that shechita is not an avoda. What do you mean? So you need a kohen stam? Well, what about the fact that velo, it's not an avoda, v'amar Rabbi Zera amar Rav, shechita spora bizar pesula. If you would shech the pora aduma with an azar, it would be possible. And Rav said, what's the basis of that? Because since it says beferish when it tatemotam el azara kohen, and then it says zot chukata Torah. So remember, wherever it says chok, it's the equivalent of shana lava katub la'akev, and therefore it would absolutely be ma'akev that you need el azar. Now, if I need a kohen to shech the pora aduma, so then it's clear it's an avoda, but that nonetheless the Torah allow the czar to do it, even though it's an avoda that you can't possibly dispense with, and therefore it's not true that it's dependent on the question of dispensability. Now, says the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from the paraduma. A paraduma is not kodesh b'kedushas the hekdesh haguf. A paraduma is a din in kodshei bedek habayit. It doesn't have the kedusha of a korban. It's just money that's owned by hekdesh. Well, I mean, doesn't that even better prove it? So that it's a kosher kohen. If even kodshei bedek habayit require a kohen for it, which seems to mean that it's considered to be an avoda, then obviously kodshei mizbeach for sure require the din of avoda for it. So you see that being an avoda does not necessarily mean, despite the fact that it's an indispensable avoda, does not necessarily mean that it's possible with the czar. There you have it. So, kachem is beach. It's not an avoda. If even for kachem better gabayit, it is. Omer Rav Shisha Bereder Avidi. No, excuse me. You're jumping to conclusions. I understand that when a korban needs a kohen, that's an indication that it's an avoda. But how about if tying your shoes required a kohen? I mean, would you say that makes it an avoda? I mean, don't be ridiculous. There's lots of things that may require a kohen, and that don't require the kohen because of an avoda. How about if somebody has to come and tell you whether the nega on your skin is a maris negoyim, that's tummy or not? Do you need a kohen for that? Yes, absolutely. Only the Bnei Aharon could do that. Does that mean it's an avoda? Of course not. It has nothing to do with anything. What kind of avoda? So the same thing over here. You could have kachip et kapayet. You're shechting a para aduma. Now, to you, I mean, if you're thinking very naively, oh, it's an animal. Oh, it requires shkita. Oh, it requires a coin for the shkita. I mean, that's all ridiculous. That's naive thinking. It happens to be that there's this particular thing that the coin has to do, the same way it has to do maros negoyim. And don't get confused. Yes, it's an animal. No, okay. So what? That's nothing that makes it kachim mizbeach. So the whole idea of an avoda on a non-kachim mizbeach doesn't even make any sense. So this is midadavi amaros negoyim. Maros negoyim is not an avoda. I mean, it's for a doctor, essentially. Nonetheless, it requires a kuna. So you can't bring me a raya from here that shchita is an avoda because a par aduma requires a coin for shchita. Well, wait a second. Let me ask you something else. You have to bring the avorim of a carbon to the kevesh of the mizbeach, right? Now, you could do without that, couldn't you? I mean, it's an avodah shev shalavatla. Suppose you went ahead and you did the hefshet and the nituach. Hefshet is the skinning, and the nituach is where you're cutting, you're butchering, basically, the carbon. And now you're going to be putting the avorim on the mizbeach. You could do that right next to the mizbeach, in which case you wouldn't have to bring it. So even though it said before, v'hikriva kohenet hakol v'ktira mizbecha. And we learned out from there that this is a reference to holachat evarim lakevesh. And it requires a kohen. This is a sort of verish of the Torah, requires a kohen. This is v'hikriva kohen. And that means it's possible bizarre. Now, you could do without that. So don't try to tell me that the question of whether something is considered to be an avoda and requires kuhn in his puzzle bazaar is a function of whether it's Evshalavatla. Here we have a case where it's Evshalavatla, which according to you would mean that it would be a machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, and it's not a machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. Actually, God seems to have his own opinion on it, and writes in the Torah, V'kriva kohen atakovik tira mizbeacha, which we said, V'yomamar, that is defined as the holocha of Evorim Lekevesh, even though it's Evshalavatla. Therefore, the halakha of the dam, which is exactly the same thing, which is Evshalavatla. So what's Rabban Rav Yosef claiming? That depends on the machlokas Rabbi Shimon about whether it's an avoda that's Evshalavatla or not. Here you need a kohen, even though it's Evshalavatla. Well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, if the Torah tells you beferish in the pasuk v'kriva kohen, so then it's gzeras hakosuf that in this case, even though it's Evshalavatla, the Torah is makpid anyway on the kuna. So, hecha de gali gali, but in a case where there's no specific gilui, it never mentions, remember, the Torah never mentions this din of the holocha of Adam. We figure it out from the way that it's said. But maybe if it's a holocha that isn't necessarily there, and you can dispense with this holocha, maybe it can be done by a zar. Well, I mean, isn't it a kol shekein? It seems to be a kal v'chomer, because, look, if the Torah is ready to insist that you require a kohen for doing something that is completely not necessary, I mean, holachas evorim lekevesh. Now that, of course, please remember, we're not talking about holacha, which is part of the four avodas. We're talking about holachas evorim. Holachas evorim is not even needed for the kapor of the karb, right? You could do without the Evorim. You don't bring the Evorim on the Mizbeach, but you did the Zrika, you're still going to be Yotzi the Korban. So consider, when we're talking about Halachas Evorim, it's nothing to do with the Kapora of the Korban. So it's not Ma'akva Kapora, and nonetheless, it does need Kuhuna. So, I mean, wouldn't a Halacha that is a Halacha of Dam, which is part of the Kapora, wouldn't that for sure need a Kohen? So that should mean that even a Liba de Rabbi Shimon, you still need to do it with a Kohen, even though he says it's not considered to be an Aveda, which is a place to have a Machsheva Shelo Lishma. That's a different issue. The point of Shelo Lishma is that something that is necessary for the Achila of the Korban is something, or the kapar of the korban, is something that you can have a makshava on. If it's not necessary, Tainas Rabbi Shimon, then there's no din of machshava. What does that have to do with the psul of a zar? I mean, it may very well be that it requires all of the dinim that any of the other avodas require. I never discussed the question with you, says Rabbi Shimon, about whether it needs to be done with a coin, did I? All I said was that anything that is not necessary, your machshava is not going to be ma'akev its kapara. That's all I said. So it's very possible that it still, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it still absolutely requires a kohen. And in fact, Itmar Nami, Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar said, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that holacha bezar psula afilu l'Rabbi Shimon. It's not that Rabbi Shimon ever disagreed whether holacha is an avoda. Of course it's an avoda. And yes, a kohen has to do it. All I said was, is that since it's not necessary for kapora, it's not included in those matirin, but it's certainly an avoda, but it's not a necessary matir of the carbon, and therefore the machshava won't passel it. Very simple. Okay, so now there's another issue over here. I mean, until now, we're taking for granted that the machlokas here is not about the nature of this halacha. The only question is whether it has a din of an aveda in terms of the machshavas pigo or machshavas shelo lishma, and that's because it's dispensable. But there's another question that seems, and the Gemara gets confused between these two until we work out the difference. The other question is, what do we mean by holacha? In other words, look, suppose you actually did exactly what Rabbi Shimon said you could do. I mean, you could actually shecht it and be mekabel adam right up against the mizbeach, and then you wouldn't need to move an inch, and you could simply be zorek the dam, right? So now, let me ask you something. This idea of holacha shelo beregel has in it a different dimension. Another way of asking the question is, if you get the dam to the mizbeach without moving your feet, you move only your hands, is that a holacha? In other words, the word halicha usually means moving your feet. In the context of the holachas hadam, does it mean moving your feet? Or does it mean getting the dam to the mizbeach? So, I mean, imagine a situation where you've got a line of kohanim. One coin hands it to the next coin on an assembly line basis. Nobody moves an inch. Nobody had done any walking. Is that called holacha? I want to know not the gabi the din of dispensability. I want to know whether that's even called holacha at all. In which case, I mean, if we're agreed that holacha is a necessary thing, then you didn't do it properly. So, I mean, would holacha shelo beregel, would that be called a holacha? Or did you not do what you needed to do? I mean, we're all agreed in the event that you need to do holacha, that there for sure it has to be done. Rabbi Shimon said it needs a coin, but the question is this a holacha? Well, tashma. The Braita said before that somebody who is sitting down or somebody who does the aveda with his left hand, he would passel it. Okay, now what does that tell you? I mean, obviously, if he's sitting down, you're not walking, right? I mean, you can't move when you're sitting down with your feet. So that would mean that the only problem is the fact that you're sitting. But let's imagine a case where you're standing and you're doing exactly the same thing. I mean, if you were sitting, you obviously took the dam with your hand and you put it on the mizbeach on the other side by bringing it closer to the mizbeach. There was no halacha because you couldn't move your feet. So if you were standing and did the same thing, and there's no problem of the psul of Yoshev, so then it would be a holacha. That's what it's saying. It's only because you're sitting that it's problematic, not because you didn't move your feet. Ha'ome dumya de Yoshev. So if you would be standing and not moving, you didn't walk, you would still be doing a kosher holacha. Well, not necessarily. I mean, maybe when it says that you're sitting, it means that you're sort of pulling yourself along on your rear end, you know. You're kashayef mishav. It doesn't mean you're not moving. You're moving. It doesn't mean you only moved your hand, in which case the omed would be that you shuffle along, you know. Deny it, purta. So you might shuffle along the floor, and that would also be considered to be moving a halacha. That's not a cool. I'm asking you whether, what if you don't move at all? And all you did, you didn't change your position. You just changed your hand. So your hand went from one place, and then it went onto the Mizbeach on the other side. That's what I'm asking you. You can't bring raya from here where you may indeed have moved. Okay, I have a raya to you from the way that the Gemara in Pesachim describes the bringing of the Korban Pesach. And actually, remarkably, the way that you brought the Korban Pesach was with an assembly line of Kohanim. So the Mishnah over there says, this is the way that they brought the Pesach. The Yisrael, the owner, would shech the Kohen, the Korban, give it over to a Kohen who would immediately do the Kabbalah. And then that Kohen who did the Kabbalah would take the Dam and hand it over to the Kohen next to him, and that Kohen would hand it over to the next Kohen on the assembly line until it got to the Mizbeach. And then the Mizbeach, the last Kohen to get it, would be the one to pour it on the Mizbeach. Now, that means that nobody walked. So you see very clearly that Holacha Shelo Beregel is a perfectly kosher way, lichatchila, to do the process of Holacha. And even though we call it Holacha, I mean, literally, Holacha, it's not walking, it's getting it there. That's the point. Well, not necessarily. Maybe it means that every Kohen that gets it does a little shuffle. He takes it from the Kohen, moves his foot a couple of inches, hands it to the next Kohen, who moves his foot, so it's a shuffle kind of dance. I mean, it looks actually pretty cute, you know? It's a really lovely assembly line. So, that's the point. Well, I understand. I mean, if that's the point, then why does the Mishnah say we have an assembly line? I mean, I thought the whole deal in the Mishnah is to teach me the halacha that an assembly line is kosher. But if you're telling me the assembly line also was like a dancing assembly line, like in Radio City, I mean, so what's the point? What do you mean, what's the point? The point is, Micah Mashmalan, Barov Am Hadrat Melech, that you should know that it's not viewed as if the Kohanim don't want to do the whole avodah. On the contrary, the more Kohanim that are involved, even though it could be done by each korban, could be brought by one Kohen, it's a bigger covet for the mitzvah, it's a hidur to the Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be doing it with so many people involved. That's the Kiddush of the Mishnah. What makes you think it has to be a dry Kiddush, that halacha shel beregel? That's not the point. Okay, how about learning it from the Mishnah later on, right here in Tzvachim? Kibel HaKasher V'natan L'Pasol. Suppose a kosher Kohen, he was Mekabel Adam, and he hands that Dam over, let's say, to a Tzar. So the Tzar should hand it back to the kosher. Ah, wait a minute. Why does the Tzar have to hand it back to the kosher? Because apparently the 5 inches that the Kohen handed it over, he didn't move, he handed it over to the Tzar. That is not good because it was done by a czar. It has to be given back to him, even though he didn't move his feet. So apparently that halacha has to be redone, right? And that would mean that by giving it back to the Kohen, now the Kohen's going to move his feet. But he handed it over. That part was no good. Apparently he's got to move his feet. No, that doesn't mean that you hand it back to him. It means Yachzor, the Kohen who is kosher, should now go back and take it from the person to whom he gave it. That's all that it means. Because when he gave it to that person, even though he didn't move his feet, it could still be that it was a kosher halacha. You don't know what that means.